The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorantos.
Thank you for tuning in. And welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorantos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show. I believe that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 26 countries in the world at every state in the U.S. The station is licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and Sound Exchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is John Carr. Hailing from Corpus Christi, Texas, John is a self-taught multi-instrumentalist singer-songwriter currently recording his debut EP titled Dream 119. John started at the young age of 4 writing songs on the piano. In 2012, he founded his band Hide After 9, which has gone on to play over 900 various shows, festivals, and private events. His first single, called The Danger, is now out and available everywhere.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, John. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. About yourself?
I'm doing good, man. So you got a pretty unique story here. It was kind of cool reading some of your stuff.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, so you're a Texas boy, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm a Chicago boy, so we're kind of similar. But what is the one thing, you know, they say everything's bigger in Texas, but what do you think is the one thing that everybody should know about Texas?
Whataburger.
All right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You born and raised there?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, these 900 shows you've done, I assume, are they international, all over the U.S.? Like, where have you gone?
Nah, it's just South Texas.
Texas, wow. Okay, So you've you know Texas well then.
He definitely.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what got you down this road. How'd you start making music?
Since I was about 4 years old, I just picked it up. My whole family's been musicians, but the piano always kind of called to me. My dad played the piano. My grandpa played the piano. And it always kind of called to me.
Okay. Do you think that playing the piano gives you an advantage because you can almost play any instrument? You know, if you're doing a synth in any kind of DAW system or Logic or Pro Tools, it's almost like you can almost play every instrument?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's always been a saying, if you can play the piano, you can play anything.
Yeah.
And I've always really taken that to heart. If you can figure out how to play, you know, a chord progression or, you know, play in a certain key, you could pick up another instrument and, you know, you already know what to look for, you know, for those progressions. And it just makes it that much easier to learn different instruments.
Yeah, no, for sure. I totally get that. When you look back at your life, your family obviously must have inspired you a little bit, but who else inspired you musically?
The biggest influence was my mom. Since I was a kid, you know, she'd always tell me, you know, one day, you know, you're going to be famous and people are going to know who you are. And she'd always end it with, and you're going to take me on vacations and you're going to buy me a nice house, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it was like her go-to slogan since I was, you know, as young as I can remember.
That's cool. But, you know, no pressure, of course, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is your mom sing, or what does she do, or what instrument does she play?
Well, she passed in 2015.
Sorry to hear that.
But it's okay. She did play the violin when she was younger. But yeah, I mean, as far as I know, that was, she was always more of a fan than a musician.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think the world of music is doing at this point in time right now? Think it's in a good place, bad place? What do you think we're at?
Man, as far as music, I think we're in a great place. People have been, you know, stuck at home with nothing to do, you know, and they have nothing but time. It's creative time. And when I'm stuck at home and I have nothing to do, my mind goes straight. I pick up the guitar and I start, you know, trying to come up with something. And as far as the people that I know that are creating music, they've all been hard at work. And I'm expecting a boom of music to be released, you know, in the next several months.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Do you think COVID has been really tough in terms of touring? How has it affected you?
It killed my shows altogether. Yeah, it's definitely been tough, you know, for good reasons. Don't want to, you know, be too close to everybody because times are not what they used to be, you know, and it has definitely affected me, you know, in our shows. I went from doing 180, 85 shows a year to like nothing, and slowly they're picking back up, but it went from booming to like to absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's been tough, you know, because obviously streaming does not pay as much as it used to. And for mm-hmm. people that rely on the shows, which are the majority of people, like you said, it basically killed you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you look at a typical day and a typical week in your life as a musician, tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, man. Typical day, typical week. I mean, it there's a lot of planning, so much more planning than I realized. Like everything is thought ahead. Create content ahead of time, schedule content ahead of time, creating, you know, phone calls, Zoom meetings to try to write more music. Phone calls galore. Oh my God. Definitely a lot more than I thought would be. That's pretty much been it. That and just, sitting down at least, you know, an hour a day if you can to try to just work on the projects you have. Lord knows I have dozens of projects, and you know, sometimes I'll hit up one that I'm kind of vibing throughout the day, and it's like, oh, you know, you come up with an idea and you just try to work in it or work on it, and then move on to the next one.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this EP that you got coming out. Mentioned the title. That's an interesting title. How'd you come up with that?
So that actually goes back to what I was telling you earlier. When I was a kid, you know, my mom would always tell me, you know, one day, you know, you're going to be famous, this and that. And anybody who knew my mom knew she was always right. She would dream about stuff and she'd call you out on it. You know, couple of stories here with my family, you know, she'd dream about something, call my dad up. It's like, what are you doing over there? And, you know, he'd be like, oh, which, like, how did you know, you know? And, 119 is her birthday. Oh, so to me, it was my way of associating well, obviously, you know, my mom's birthday, but also the her quote, you know, one day, you know, you're going to make it one day. And it was her dream. And you know, obviously mine as well, you know, being in a musician, there's no musician alive that doesn't want to make it.
Sure.
You know, and it's not always because of like, oh, you know, I want to be rich and I want to be it's because I have music and I have emotions and thoughts that I want others to hear. And so it's kind of a compilation of all that. But mainly sourced through, you know, kind of like my dedication to my mom.
That's very cool, man. It's a cool, that's a very interesting title.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. So what else do you have going on this year that you want to share with the fans tonight? Anything else we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, there are obviously a few more releases, a few more singles before we release the EP. Some announcements I can't quite make yet. And just hopefully a lot more music throughout the year. I plan on releasing a lot of content this upcoming year.
So I take that you've been very busy.
Yes.
What you said earlier, right?
Yeah. I've been working on this album for about a year, maybe year and a half, give or take. Before I really got into this, I didn't quite understand how much work goes into making a professional album. It's immense.
Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt about that, brother. Tell us a little bit about teaching. Do you teach any music, piano, anything?
I don't. I've had some people ask me. Patience is not my strong suit. And okay. Yeah, that's, I don't know if I could actually sit down and like correlate what I'm thinking. Because a lot of things that there are a lot of instruments that I play strictly from ear. I mean, I know how to read music, of course. But it's always been more so like I can replicate just by listening, or I can create just by listening. And I understand music theory in practice, but not on paper. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. Cool. When you sit down to write a song, how do you start? You start with piano? Do you start with melody? Do you start with a drum groove? How do you get started in this process?
I've done it a few different ways. Sometimes I start off with a guitar, just guitar, and try to get like that basic layout. Other times I've had it to where I write the lyrics first. And then I try to see what kind of vibe the lyrics are kind of telling me, and vice versa. I've done it to where I write the entire music just by sitting down and you're on a certain level when you're kind of making music, and it's like, oh man, this is the bomb, and this is cool, and this will sound cool too. And then after it's done, it's like, okay, what does this song want? Like, what is it telling me?
Yeah.
Because when you listen to a song, you don't want the lyrics to be completely off of what the song sounds like, So I generally let the track tell me what it wants, and then I kind of sit down and just write it out.
Yeah. Okay. I get it. We have one of our listeners, Pam, is calling to ask, when are you starting gigging again?
If the weather will permit, I'm going to be playing here in Corpus on Thursday. In fact, I have two shows. I have one on Thursday downtown. It's called Bay Jamming. It's like a city festival they do every Thursday. And then Friday night at a place called the House of Rock.
And is this something, John, that you do with the band? You do it by yourself? How does that work for you?
Right now, I play with my band that I founded in 2012. At some point, because my album is a solo album, so I'm not too sure what I'm going to be doing on that end. Possibly, moving on to solo or maybe a separate band. I haven't quite decided. I have to talk to a few people about that.
I get it. How do you balance music with other obligations in your life?
Oof, that is a tough question. Coffee.
Coffee. That sounds like a song, my friend. That sounds like a song.
Definitely. Yeah. No, in all seriousness, I don't know. It just kind of falls into place. I mean, this last year has been so busy. And somehow I have stretched myself to the absolute limits and I managed to just get it done.
Okay. How do you handle a mistake during a performance? Do you ignore it? Do you kind of, you know, tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, man. So when I first started playing, I'd make a mistake or one of us would make a mistake and, you know, you'd look at each other like, oh, criminy, you know, and, you know, as you get more experience, you learn to, you just pull it off. You make a mistake, add a little something extra to make it sound like it was part of the song to begin with and move on and nobody notices. You know, and if you do notice, it's probably because you've been to quite a few of my shows.
Yeah, that's so true, man. I was the same way when I first started. You're all like devastated. You didn't play a perfect, whatever, sing a perfect note. And then after a while, you realize you could just ad lib and no one really knows that you did that except you and your bandmates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, or better is if you make a mistake, just guitar solo.
Guitar solo. Don't let me know. Yeah. And your bandmates are looking at you like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, we're high functioning, you know, at our shows. Like we're all alert to each other and it pretty much just takes like a glance and they're like, oh, I got you.
Yeah.
You know, when you've been playing with people for a long time, you really get in sync with, you know, with what we're each wanting to do.
And that's the beauty of playing with people that you're grooving with and that you know them, they know you, and you can almost make things up on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. How do you get fans to take you seriously as a musician?
You know, that's a hard one, man. A lot of people don't until they actually show up to a show. And, you know, I've always told people this, when you leave, I want you to talk about this for the rest of the week. So I've always been real big into the show. Like I want it to be as awesome, you know, plenty of effects. Like I want it to be something that they leave with, you know, and talk about for about a week.
Okay. What effects do you use that you think most musicians can adopt pretty easily that are not super expensive or super complex?
Oh, man. So I have some fog machines that they're called geysers. They shoot up like a 15 or 20 foot, you know, ball of smoke with color. Those aren't that expensive, and they just add so much if you set them off at the right time, you know, hook them up to a DMX and have someone, you know, on the side just kind of going with the music. There's some fairly inexpensive rotary lights, you know, mechanized lights. I mean, that's what I would say. There's plenty of options. You don't have to spend a boatload of money just to, you know, present yourself, you know, a little bit more grand, I guess, if that's the right word for it.
Yeah. Okay. Tell you what, tell us about this song we're going to hear in a minute here. What do you want us to know about it? What inspired it on your end?
So this song is, so it's pretty much like myself telling myself that I want to go beyond my own limits. My own limitations are not going to hold me back from my goals. It derived from, you know, my life. You know, at one point, you know, I was a musician who, like, I didn't really believe in myself. Like I did, but I didn't have the motivation, I guess, if that explains it. I always thought, you know, it's kind of a waste of time and it's a waste of money, but it's fun. So it was always like a give and take and pretty much just arguing with myself as to what I could accomplish and what I couldn't. And this song just kind of came to be from that. Is I pretty much just told myself, you know, one day it's like, I'm not settling, and I'm not just going to say, well, this is as far as I'm going to go because I refuse.
And I let the music speak for itself. I mean, at a later point, I'll be making some announcements that'll kind of shed a little bit more light on this. But that's pretty much how the song came to be. It derives from my own personal life.
Okay. Awesome, John. Tell you what, let's take a listen, and then we'll come back and talk for a few more minutes, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right, everybody, check this out. John Carr, here we go.
I want the danger of it all. I wanna climb, rise, and fall. I wanna place down my back, saying I'm not done yet. I wanna touch the sky above. I wanna feel the other toe.
That was a very cool song, my friend. Thank you for sharing it.
I appreciate it.
So when you look at your own career, how much do you think you focus on a backup plan? Is that something most musicians should be thinking about on a daily basis until they make it, or do you think it's not important?
I mean, yeah, it is important, because you have to be realistic. You know, the odds of making it are pretty slim, as you know, as why I say small peanuts. But that's a tough question, because you need to be all in and make the decisions. That's what I would say. I kind of have a saying: you have to force your dreams, make it happen, because no one's going to give it to you besides you. So it's a little hard to say, like, yes, you obviously want to have a backup plan, but put your time and effort and like really, really, try to focus in on your goals. Because no one's going to give it to you if you don't try. There's not going to be that magical person who's going to find you on Instagram and be like, wow, like he was very talented. Because nowadays, from the people in the industry that I've talked to, talent, yes, it's like obviously it's required. It's a big part. But like the bigger part is this artist dedicated? Is this artist 100% in? Are they willing to do what they have to do? You know, and not just sit there and expect it to come their way and you know, hope that this one video will go viral. You know, and unfortunately, a lot of the younger kids today nowadays is they have that mentality like, oh, you know, I'm going to be an influencer. And it's like, well, good for you, but like, come to reality. But at, you know, you just have to learn to balance. You know, definitely have your backup plan. Do it, focus on it, but, you know, split it 50-50, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Okay, John, tell you what, why don't you give me your information, links you want to share with us? Where can people buy and stream your music, things that you want to share?
Yeah, man. Amazon, Spotify, Apple, iTunes. I mean, Deezer, I'm on... I don't even know how many platforms I'm on right now, to be honest. But you can always hit me up on Instagram, JohnCarr_official, Facebook, just John Carr, or Twitter, JohnCarrOfficial. And I always post my links. And actually, people who do follow me on social media get the behind the scenes and you know, the stuff that you don't just get by going to Apple Music or Spotify and stuff.
Yeah, totally get it. So last question for you, my friend, what's the best career advice you've ever gotten?
Best career advice I've gotten. Go all in.
Go all in. Okay.
Yeah. Go all in. And you either do it or you don't.
All right, John. It's very cool, man. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
I appreciate you having me.
You're very welcome. So to any listeners out there who may be artists, if you want to be on the show, please just reach out to me. To fans out there that listen, I hope your own unique story gets heard around the world. Thank you for joining us. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show. Tonight, I'm going to leave you with one of my songs. One of my favorite shows was The Big Bang. I marveled at Sheldon, and he was fascinated with trains, and so was I when I was a kid. So during an episode, an idea sparked, and I came up with this song that I hope you enjoy, Never Catch a Train on Time. Everyone have a great night. I love you guys. I'll check you out next Tuesday. Have a great night.
passes me by. There are times this is strange. Lessons learned fade away as I take play. I'll never catch the train on time, though I try and try, try and try, but I never catch the train on time.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.